Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Another victory Monday, so hard to complain.
Yeah, we want as many of these as possible. Theoretically, two more if we could. But here we are. Yes, after divisional round weekend, only four teams remain, and as a co-host of the Full Press Packers Pod and Packers fans, we are certainly happy for that. Would guess most of the listeners are as well. If you're a Rams fan listening, really sorry about that. Not really that sorry though. But because we want to win, right? It's all about a competition, and glad to see the Packers move on. So who are those four teams remaining? Well, quickly on the AFC side, the Kansas City Chiefs, in spite of Patrick Mahomes leaving with a concussion in the second half, they escaped with the 22-17 victory over the Browns. Did take a fourth down conversion by the Chiefs in the very last minute to ice out the game. Convert that last first down to have enough to kneel it down. Otherwise, the Browns do have a chance at the end. Just a 5-point game, so it would have been interesting to see what happened there. But also on the other side, Ravens losing to the Bills, 17-3. Buffalo wins and will meet Kansas City as a result. So, Jesse, before we start anywhere else, do you have any thoughts about either of these AFC divisional round games?
Yeah, the Chiefs, it'll be interesting next week, what happens with Mahomes. But the Browns, I think the Chiefs were, the better team, but kind of like we talked about last week, the Browns were hungry. They put up a good fight. They kept the Chiefs out of the end zone early. And it almost reminded me like a college basketball game, how the momentum like totally shifted in the second half of that football game. So, if they didn't pick up that fourth down, especially where they were, it could have been bad for the Chiefs. Andy Reid, he's got some guts, I'll tell you that, for that call to end on fourth down there. But, it was a good game. And the Bills, who are my Super Bowl pick, they were dominant, I thought. I mean, they played a great scheme to stop that Ravens offense and, scored 17 points against a good defense, just enough. But they're just a good, sound football team. So there's going to be a heck of a – they're the two best teams for sure, in my opinion. So there's going to be a big battle next week.
I thought the Bills-Ravens game, defense, both defenses played incredibly well. And really, it came down to which quarterback could produce in spite of all that pass rush pressure, but also pressure in terms of playoffs as well. The great coverages. I mean, there was really at no point in that game on either side were there any wide receivers wide open. Both secondaries, I thought, were very disciplined, and quarterbacks were going to have to throw accurate passes in order to hit their receivers. They weren't going to really have many layup chances. I mean, as great as Stephon Diggs is, and he can get separation almost with ease anywhere. He, not necessarily to say he wasn't open, because he, in the NFL, he got NFL open, right? Where sometimes you got to make catches even when you're not open. And he managed to do that. And they were able, and the Bills were able to do that. Ravens, not the case. And, defense and quarterback play, I mean, I think the defense has probably evened themselves out. I would say it was as much as, the Ravens allowed 17 points, the Bills only three. I thought the real difference was quarterback play. Josh Allen was able to make the throws, read well, and most importantly, avoid the mistakes. Wasn't the prettiest game for Allen. The stats aren't the greatest. He's had a couple monster performances end of the regular season and last week against the Colts. But I thought he played very effectively and very well, considering how tough the defense was. Lamar Jackson, not the case. Big mistake with the pick six at a point when the score was 10-3. That was it. Like, that was the pick six that made it 17-3, and that was it for scoring. So if consider how well the Ravens defense played after that too, and how they weren't demoralized by that. I thought that was quite impressive for the Ravens defense. But if Jackson doesn't make that brutal mistake of throwing into triple coverage, I know it's your favorite target in Mark Andrews, but I don't think Rodgers is going to throw to Adams in triple coverage. Like, as great of a receiver as he is, you still have to, because if he's triple covered, someone else has to be open.
Yep. Well, I think the Bills did a great job. I mean, just they took Jackson out of his game, where like he likes to move around and use his athletic ability too. And the D ends and the D line, just they had pressure, but they contained well and took away all running lanes. It was just if you like defensive football, that was a fun game to watch because both defenses were just everybody stayed within their keys and their assignments. And it was just a really good old school throwback defensive battle. It was fun to watch.
And actually, it's interesting that in both instances, both of the reigning MVPs got concussed. So Lamar Jackson did leave that game with a concussion later on, as did Patrick Mahomes. And while the Chiefs move on, but that is going to be a question mark going into this game. Is Patrick Mahomes going to play in the AFC Championship game? Suddenly, if Chad Henne's going to start, if Mahomes is playing, my thought was the Bills would need a repeat of this type of defensive performance and maybe even need to improve that in order to win. Just because Mahomes is that good. So you like to see that the Bills' defense is probably peaking, because I don't know that they've played that good of a defensive game maybe all season. Bit of a struggle this year as for a unit that came and did exceptionally well last year, especially against the pass. Not quite the same elite status this year. I think they were bad against the run both seasons, so that's a problem. But although they did show that pretty well against the Ravens, so maybe again peaking at the right time. But if Mahomes isn't there, then maybe your Bills prediction is maybe looking as a favorite there. In fact, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean it'll come down to his health, but yeah, I mean the Bills, good offense. So if they can keep, because the Ravens defense, I think, is a lot better than the Chiefs defense overall. So, yeah, I think both teams, just the matchup is really interesting. So it could go either way. It all depends on the health of Mahomes. That's where it starts right there, because it's a totally different ball game if he's not playing.
I would say, yeah, Ravens defense better, but not the Chiefs defense. This isn't a bad unit by any stretch. I thought they made life really difficult for Baker Mayfield. And that was part of the reason why Cleveland was struggling to get, score more than 17 points. I mean, 17 was enough to win the other game, not this one. I thought there were some plays where there were plays to be made, and then it seemed like it was often Tyrann Mathieu came in and made a tackle out of nowhere. Where did he come from? And he's just a special type of impact player that impacts every phase. He's good in the run game. He's good against the pass. If you need him to blitz, occasionally he can, but from a coverage standpoint, he can, sideline to sideline tackler. We usually talk about that from linebackers, not so much safeties, but he's really does kind of that X factor. We talked a bit about in the All Pro episode last week, Jamal Adams, right? And how he's not really a defensive back, a linebacker. I feel like what teams want him to be is exactly what Mathieu is, Tyrann Mathieu. Like he's the prototype for that. Like what is right now in the NFL, that current hybrid player.
Yeah, definitely. Totally different than Adams, I think, just like stylistically, where Adams is more of that thumper, but Mathieu, yeah, he's a player, man. He flies all over the field. The Chiefs might not, as a unit be, out of this world, but they have playmakers, between him and Chris Jones. I mean, those guys are all pros, they're right there with anybody. So they have the pieces.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Jones, when you hold an NFL record, usually that means you're a good player. I mean, if it's a good record, you don't want to hold the bad ones. But most consecutive games with a sack, that tells me consistency, especially from a defensive, like an interior defensive lineman like Chris Jones, is that's a pretty difficult proposition to make. Like you'd expect, I believe he broke Michael Strahan's record. Like you'd expect outside rushers to have that type of stat line, but for an interior rusher to break the consecutive sacks in a game, I think he had 11 or 12 straight games with a sack a couple years ago. So like to do that from the interior, that says something about Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's a monster. There's no doubt.
Hopefully the Packers can also be monsters this week. That certainly was the case in the divisional round, I thought. 32-18. So you like to see, the Packers were the highest scoring team in divisional weekend. That's nice, especially considering that the Rams do have a really good defense. Now, the one caveat, Aaron Donald, I think we can agree clearly wasn't 100%. Would that have been enough to make a difference? Probably not, but it certainly would have probably made things more difficult for the Packers. So just general thoughts on this game, Jesse. What do you want to talk about?
So yeah, Donald wasn't 100%, that's for sure. But it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. I don't think the Packers, they didn't start as clean as they would have liked to, with some drops and stuff like that, but they were the dominant team. Just the way, the Rams, even without Aaron Donald, they're still a good football team on defense. The Packers did what they wanted to on offense. you know, once they got rolling with the running game, everything started clicking. I really don't think it was that close. I really don't. They could have hung 40 on them. And that's not saying the Rams are bad. The Packers just were, they controlled the whole game. Good football. The O-line kept Rodgers clean, no sacks. Elgton Jenkins was a monster. Yeah, just a good football game. Our pass rush was on point, getting pressure all day long. Jair showed you why he's the best corner in the league. It was just a good game.
Okay, and just that last point, Jair, I mean, he mostly stuck to his side. I did notice there was a couple plays where he would go after Woods. I think without Cooper Kupp, I think it became very clear and obvious Woods was the priority, right? So I think sometimes Woods traveled in the slot, Alexander would go there, but for the most part stuck to his side. Did one target, I think. That's it. Maybe two targets, but zero catches, I believe.
Yeah, one target for -3 yards, I believe.
And I mean, to be fair, there was a play where Woods, I believe it was from the slot, beat Alexander. It was a really good throw by Goff, and Woods dropped it. So that would have been maybe one of the biggest catches Alexander allowed all season. It would have only been for like 20 yards maybe, but like it was going to get for a first down. I believe that was pretty early in the game. Might have been that opening drive, actually. I think that was the third down play that forced the initial punt, I believe.
Yeah, on the 3-and-out. You're right. Yep.
I was a little concerned there. Is Woods going to be able to get open against Alexander? But that was, I think of the times Alexander was covering him, that was when he was the most open at any points. And I mean, Woods, 8 catches through the game, not shadowed by Alexander, but only 48 yards on 8 catches. And he's usually pretty good. I know that they like to throw him a variety of plays and even sometimes run the ball with him. So he'll catch all over the field, deep, intermediate, short, dump off, screens. McVay loves to do a lot of different things with the receivers, but to see Woods get 8 catches for 48 yards, that's incredibly inefficient for him, for his standards. So I think that was quite, Josh Reynolds, the leading receiver in terms of receiving yards, 65 yards. So to hold down the passing game like that, I thought was tremendous by the Packers. And I thought Goff played pretty well. There were some plays where when catches are being made, a lot of it were tight window throws, receivers making really good plays. I don't remember anyone being wide open at all. And if there's one coordinator, one offensive play caller, not coordinator, he's the head coach, one offensive play caller that can almost with ease on every play scheme at least one player open, it's either McVay or Peyton, right? And to just completely shut down the passing game, I think, was tremendous. The pass rush obviously helped in terms of not giving Goff much time, not giving routes time to develop, but I think mass kudos to the secondary.
Oh, big time. Yeah. So, I mean, when you look at the numbers, you know, Goff, like you said, Goff was pretty efficient. You know, he was 21 for 27, but then you look at the yardage, like no big plays. They allowed no big plays again. That's kind of what they've been doing all year. And I think, you know, before the half, we were playing a little bit too off where we should have been a little more aggressive, I think, because that kind of gave up that easy score. But then when they turned it back on, you know, and shut it down, they weren't giving them anything. So, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, like all year long, we'll let you catch some short stuff in front of us, not let you get the big play. It's not going to work. You're not going to sustain drives all game long doing that or, you know, 10 play drives, good luck. And we're not going to let you get in the end zone. So, yeah, the defense was awesome all around. It's just a good performance, like you said, with the secondary. You know, you really didn't hear the safeties' names being called for, like, splash plays. But I think they really took away everything over the top.
And I think whenever plays, you know, underneath throws were coming, it seems like Amos was in right away. He was helping in on every tackle almost. Like, even if he wasn't helping on tackles, he was always kind of around. You'd always see that 31 just... seems like he was locked in knowing that the Rams do like to throw stuff short. This is a team that will rely on their receivers to make plays after the catch. So you've got to be extra disciplined when those footballs get there. You got to make sure you're containing, be in position to make tackles. And I thought Amos did pretty well with that. Like even, like you said, they're not calling his name, but you can see him on the screen always in the right position.
Yeah, it was even the linebackers. I mean, you didn't have a ton of tackles out of guys, but like you said, you know, they took away angles. They kept everything in front of them, and just everybody was flying to the football. Barnes led the team with 7 tackles, but then Sullivan was next with 6. So Yeah, I mean, and it was clean tackling too. You didn't see a lot of missed tackles, you know, the problems that we had earlier in the year. So it was a really nice performance. They never let the Rams get going. That was the biggest thing. You know, they didn't let them get any kind of big momentum where, you know, we gave up that score before half. The Packers come right back down the field and kick a field goal and kind of took those wins out of those sails. So it was really nice.
Yeah, other than that one point where, oh, it's a one score game now, they really did kind of keep them at arm's length. I mean, I guess it was 3-3 entering the second quarter, but really that second quarter, the Packers got things going, but, you know, two touchdowns in that quarter really set things apart and kept them apart for the rest of the game. And I thought, yeah, the Packers ran the ball well. I thought the Rams did a fairly good job running. Akers is quite talented, and I thought he looked really good. But his longest run was only 13 yards, which mass kudos to the Packers again. Guys like Chris Barnes and again, and the secondary. But everything kind of, the big plays weren't there. 28 yards, the longest pass play. Just look at that. And so, yeah, like you said, everything eliminated the big play aspect to this Rams offense. I think the position group that probably dominated, like you mentioned, was the offensive line for the Packers. They had their way. And you know, whenever Jenkins was on Donald one-on-one, he owned him completely. Like, there was, Donald got nothing against him, and he was always getting pushed back to the point where they, you know, when he was playing later in the game, they really had him avoid Jenkins and, you know, forcing the double teams with Patrick and Wagner. And I thought whenever they were tasked with Donald on that side, they handled it really well as a duo. So there was really no way to penetrate. Billy Turner might have had his best game at left tackle. Just nothing at all. It seemed like there was no cracks in the armor, and I mean, Corey Linsley, first team all pro center, best center in the league, showed it on Saturday.
I mean, we can almost say, you know, when Box healthy, you got the best left tackle, left guard, and center in the league, right? And that's not just being a super homer right now. Like, Elgton Jenkins, even with his mental toughness, when he got under Donald's skin, he didn't retaliate or do anything stupid back. Like, you don't see second year players do that. The dude is awesome. And yeah, he ate Donald's lunch, and it frustrated Donald. And I can't say enough about the O-line, man. It's so impressive, you know, and Rodgers praises him because he didn't get touched. And that's amazing.
And I mean, you know, Rodgers could always, whenever there is the occasional pressure, he could always kind of make things happen and scramble, but really didn't need to make a difference with his legs that much.
Yeah, that one where I don't know how it was not a safety when they're in the end zone and Rodgers is holding on to it. And he just took two steps over and threw a dart and got it out of there. It's like, that was like the only time where it started crumbling in on him, you know, and there wasn't much because there was nowhere to run. And somehow, you know, he does what Rodgers does and just throws a dime.
Which, to be fair, that's the area you'd expect it, right? Like, the probably the most dangerous because, A, you don't have as much room to run backwards to avoid, so you're limited in terms of space, and B, the defense knows, like, oh, we get him, it's a safety, or maybe even a touchdown if it's a strip sack. Like, they're probably hungrier on the pass rush on those plays than they are on any other play, just knowing how much of a difference they can make on the game if they get a sack there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's game-changing right there. I mean, that totally changes everything.
But of course, you know, again, big difference makers were the Packers offense. I thought running wise, they not just pass protection, but the offensive line really blocked well for everybody. Jones almost had 100 yards. I mean, 100 yards from scrimmage, 99 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Jamal Williams, 65 yards, and even A.J. Dillon, 6 for 27. So you like to see all three kind of get in the rotation. I figured Dillon probably would have even got more carries if he didn't get hurt. That's obviously something we're going to monitor this week. Would like to obviously have him healthy. He's a great player, second round pick, and he's showing, you know, the reasons that they drafted him. And I know he did have the fumble, which is the play he got hurt on. You know, but maybe that was maybe the only time you could say the Packers got lucky in that game, is that fumble basically fell right back to Rodgers. It was okay. That's about as that's really the only moment they got lucky. Every other play in that game, they made their own success.
Yeah, and what's nice with this three-headed monster at running back, when we put two of them on the field at once, it really freezes, and they do all our motion and all that. It really freezes up the linebackers. A little off topic, like with the motion, with the Davante Adams touchdown, you can't defend that. I don't know how you defend that. It's just drawn up perfect. And then we're doing stuff with the backs with that, where we're putting guys in, one of the backs in motion and handing it off. it just it that split second of freezing the linebackers and the O-line getting pushed, it's hard to stop. I mean, I'll take, you know, what do we have, about 180 yards rushing any day of the week. So that's amazing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, you can put it enough on the running backs too. As much as we have been talking about how great the offensive line is, I thought Jones, there's a couple plays where he showed incredible contact balance, thinking he's going to go down. Oh, it's only going to be a 1-2 yard game. And oh, wait, it's the first down. Or just moments where he showed incredible strength. And, you know, that can show in a lot of ways. Some guys, it's the, oh, I can push back the linebacker into the end zone line, like when on those goal line things. I don't know that's necessarily Jones's game, but his power really does come, and he's a hard guy to bring down.
Yeah, his center of gravity is just awesome, because like you're saying on that one where he got drilled and, I mean, basically got knocked backwards, and just to have his balance and the strength to stay on his feet and then just accelerate instantly out of it, it's a thing of beauty.
It's funny because, you know, you talk about how dominant a game, and Adams only 66 yards, touchdown, as you mentioned. I thought the Rams actually did a pretty good job defending him most of the game. And I noticed it wasn't always Ramsey. I think they provided extra attention, which of course opened things up. And you saw it quite a few times, other Packers players getting open deep because of all the extra attention Adams was getting. So it seemed like when they could, I mean, Adams still led the team in targets. So it's not as if Rodgers was avoiding him. But really, I think it kind of proved the point, right? You know, you get an elite corner, elite receiver. When Ramsey was on Adams, didn't really shut him down. Like, Adams was still being able to get open. And so I think we've already mentioned this before. I don't think there's a corner in the league that can cover Adams. I think he proved that today. The way to cover him is you need 2-3 guys on him. You need that extra tension. But of course, when that happens, you open things up for like Alan Lazard on the 58-yard touchdown that really ices the game in the fourth quarter. You know, that's what allows plays to happen. So it's important for obviously the other receivers to make plays. I know Lazard did have a drop in the game, only 50% catch rate in this contest, but that play there, when he needed to make it to seal the game, he did, and it was a pretty great play.
Yeah, well, and that's just the big thing with Adams. You know, when he takes that much attention, you know, other guys got to win their one-on-ones, and everybody did. I mean, you know, it just maybe not huge numbers all around, but like, you know, MVS only had 33 yards, but they're important. You know, St. Brown had a huge catch for 27. You know, so and Devontae had 9 catches on 10 targets. So when they did go his way, it was efficient. So we'll take it. But like Tonyan, 4 for 60 on 4 targets again. Like if you go his way, he's going to catch it, right? It's automatic at this point. So, and yeah, we didn't get the running backs involved in the passing game as much as I thought, but that's still another wrinkle, I think, where maybe this next week coming up with these fast linebackers to get them spread out a little bit. I don't know, but there's just so many options with this offense, and it's fun to see Rodgers not just get tunnel vision and only go one way. He's hitting these guys open.
So I've got a few, really 3 guys that I was thinking of, but really 2 that I'm, you know, in my mind for Packers player of the game. So I'm curious to what your thoughts are on it first, Jesse.
Okay, well, I have one that's 100% locked for me, but I'll say 3 guys that I think deserve some credit here. I guess 3rd place, I'll go Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark, you know, 1.5 sacks, but that dude wrecked the inside of the Rams interior again. He was dominant. He was in the backfield all day long. I mean, the dude's a monster. Then 2nd, I would say Rashawn Gary. That guy is coming on. I mean, his pressure rate right now is insane. And again, he had 1.5, you know, 1.5 again, but how many pressures did he have? I can't remember what it was, but that dude's coming on. He's going to be a freak. But to me, it's Elton Jenkins. It's hands down for me. That guy just showed, he let the world know that he got snubbed and why he should be an first team all pro.
Really hoping he carries that attitude next week. Honestly, that was almost identical to my top 3. I'd have put Aaron Rodgers at 2 instead of Gary. But
okay,
you're right in that almost every play, when there was something happening, it was either Gary or Clark. Gary Clark Jr. What a combo. You know, like I made that joke on the Sunday stream. But those two, it seemed like making sweet music, just like Gary Clark Jr. does. And, you know, Za'Darius Smith, I feel like teams got wiser to him and are giving him extra attention. And what's allowing that to happen is those two are just dominating and really dominant this game. So, yeah, I like saying Clark three. I almost thought we'd have the same top three because I agree with you. Number one is Elgton Jenkins. If Donald was 100% and he did that, I wouldn't have even left it to discussion. I was just going to name him off the bat. But I think even in spite of that, he was, and when he wasn't on Donald, he was dominating whoever else he had to block for. And there were times when he was helping out Turner on double teams too. And so he fills every role you need. And so, yeah, I think I think in the regular season, I wanted to avoid picking a player twice, but I think postseason you erase that. And if Jenkins was the best today, I think he definitely deserves it. So we're in agreement there.
100%.
So quickly, next episode will be a preview of the Packers and Buccaneers game. But just to quickly touch on what happened, the Bucs beat the Saints 30-20. Comeback win for the Bucs. I believe they scored 17 straight points. All starting at the end of the third to the fourth and dominated. And what it was, four turnovers, three interceptions by Drew Brees. That's the fear is for the Packers. It's avoid those mistakes, avoid those turnovers. I don't think Rodgers is going to throw four. He's definitely a better quarterback than Brees, but it's the threat is still there. And if we saw it in the earlier game, but that Tampa really took advantage and, you know, Brady outplayed Brees. So it's again, defense and quarterbacks, just like we talked about the Bills and Ravens.
Rodgers isn't Drew Brees. We'll just leave that there. But I mean, don't turn the ball over. The Bucs don't win that game if they don't turn the ball over. Now, that's not to take nothing away from them making those turnovers, but they got a good defense. That's the scariest part about that team. You know, Brady's Brady, and you know he's the GOAT and all that. But that defense is good, especially at the linebacker position. White has just turned it on, especially coming off a week off, and as good as he looked, I mean that dude was a monster. So it'll be a good matchup. But yeah, the Saints just, I don't know what it is, you know, from all the years of McCarthy and Rodgers not getting it done, you know, I don't know why the Saints don't take any heat, because it just seems like they lay eggs every playoff, you know. But I think that's the last Drew Brees game. So, you know, he's going to ride off with a last pass and interception, which, you know, not a good thing. But hey, we get to knock Brady out next week, right?
Hopefully. give us your wishes and desires. You know, reach us at Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. And as always, download the full press coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. It'll give you access to all the great written content, access to all our podcasts, and of course, access to the Full Press Radio Network. It's all for free on the Full Press coverage app. So yeah, we'll be talking Bucks next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.